In Florida, you'll find the environment to inspire what's inconceivable, the chance to explore what's inexplicable, and the space to accomplish what's unimaginable. You'll no longer have to wait for the future. You can harness it. Florida, the future is here.
Can saving money be a bad thing? Could it hurt the economy? That's one theory being floated. We'll talk about that with someone from LPL Financial.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Seems like every day we are told, yes, we should be saving money for retirement. We should be saving money for college. We should be saving money to buy that car. This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. I'm John Wardock. Well, Anthony Valeri is an investment strategist at LPL Financial, and he has been looking into the global savings glut. Yes, maybe we are saving too much money. Anthony joins us now. So, Anthony, tell us about this global savings glut and why you're worried about it.
It's a phenomenon that is a little bit controversial, but we think it's valid, and it helps explain some of the sluggish global growth we've seen in recent years. And there's the Bayes theory is that as a whole, not just in the U.S. but globally, we are saving, socking away too much money and not investing it, not consuming. And that's one of the factors, a big factor, in sluggish global economic growth and also interest rates that are very low in comparison to history, and also very low inflation. So all of those factors can be attributed to the global savings glut.
So this isn't just an American problem. This is truly a global problem from Europe to Asia and so on?
It is. It is global. Part of it is due to the fact that as a whole, the demographics, the global population is getting older, and it is somewhat age-related. As you get older, you tend to save more. And there are policies like China's one-child policy and other factors that have contributed to not enough young people coming into the workforce. And I think that's certainly one of the drivers. But we are left with a situation where we still have too much savings on a global basis, not enough spending and investing.
Let's bring this home to the U.S. How are Americans doing with savings?
Americans, on a global basis, don't save as much as some of the other people around the world, but savings in the U.S. have increased since the end of the financial crisis. I think investors are still a little shell-shocked to put money to use. They've been repaying debt, and that investment that we would normally see coming out of an economic expansion has been somewhat lackluster. So in the U.S., you are seeing signs of it as well. And what you really need, I think, is not the Fed to produce more stimulus or cut rates again, if the case might be. Let's hope not. But some sort of fiscal policy that would stimulate or incentivize spending to boost investment. You could incentivize corporate R&D and then promote balanced demographics by incentivizing immigration or even childbirth. So there are potential solutions. Most of them come from the policy side, from the governments, not just the Federal Reserve.
It's interesting you chose the word shell-shocked, because in preparing for this interview, that's exactly one of the words I wrote down in my notes, because it feels as though after the financial meltdown of 2008, people were shell-shocked. I mean, like there were zombies walking around not wanting to spend money, and I guess that has continued.
Yeah, that has continued, and you see it in some of the sentiment surveys today. American Association of Individual Investors, for much of this year, the percentage of bears is near a historic high, yet the conditions today are nowhere near what we saw in 2008 or even 2002, which is the last time that index fell so low. So, to your point, that shell shock sentiment, that caution is still very much evident.
Now, you're not advocating that we all go out like drunken sailors entering port and spend money willy-nilly, are you?
No, not at all. I mean, there are some legitimate factors that will just take time to evolve. One is the Eurozone. That's taking on too much debt and sluggish growth there. There is a serious demographic issue in Europe, and I think that'll take some time to evolve. Emerging market countries, to some degree, led by China, getting older, that's not going to change right away, but that's a little more balanced. And then again, some sort of policy that would incentivize childbirth, incentivize immigration. They're not going to work right away, not overnight, but over the long term. That's how you go about changing this global savings. But it has to come from the policy side. In the U.S., one way to solve for it, or certainly address it, is to look at an infrastructure spending program, for example, some sort of fiscal spending that would help create that incentive. And keep in mind, we haven't had any fiscal stimulus since 2009 and the ARA. So
would you say if we got rid of this global savings glut that the world economy would start to come back?
It's going to take some time, but yes, it would be a boost to economic growth. I think we'd see better economic growth, might actually see higher interest rates as well, which I think would be welcome by savers as well. And I think you'd also see the risk of deflation fading away. We don't think that's a big risk now, but it's still lurking in the background. Need to get a little bit higher inflation, which we think would be good for the global economy.
Anthony Valeri, an investment strategist at LPL Financial. Thank you, Anthony, for taking a few minutes.
Thanks for having me.
And if you like this podcast, folks, check out our others. We have Watching Your Wealth. We also have Money Beat and Heard on the Street. You can find all those shows at iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. And now we're on the Google Play Music app if you have an Android device. This has been Your Money Matters. I'm John Wardock for The Wall Street Journal.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.